You're in tune to KDWA FM 97.7 AM 1460. Welcome to another edition of Talk Real Estate, brought to you by the Realtors of Edina Realty of Hastings. We have in our studios today the Bee Lady. How are you today, Pam?
Well, I'm just fine.
And I bet you have a bee update.
Well, you bet right. Yeah.
I imagine, is this starting to be a tough time for them because of the, you know, the weather and the...
Yeah, well, it's not so tough for them because they're prepared for it. They
That's
do it
right.
every year, but things have changed. They're now in winter mode because they really don't venture out once, you know, and they won't come out again now probably till it's in the high 40s or 50s, preferably sunny, not windy, not raining.
Okay.
So they'll be cooped up in that hive for quite a while.
Mm-hmm.
And it's what you call clustering.
They're in a ball, huh?
They're in a ball, yeah. And I just found out something interesting this morning when we were talking about it, because I said, yeah, so they're just kind of flapping their wings and, you know, to stay mm-hmm. warm, because that's how I always picture it. And they
yeah.
do keep it kind of warm in there, you know. It's like in the 90s in the ball. There.
In the winter?
Mm-hmm.
Really?
Yeah, not necessarily in the whole hive, but yeah, in
mm-hmm.
that ball. But what they're doing, I thought this is kind of cool. They're not flapping their wings, but they're moving the muscles that make the wings go. And it's that moving that muscle, and it feels almost, I think, like a vibration. That's what creates the heat to keep them warm. And then they keep rotating inside to outside. So
mm-hmm.
the ones in the middle would get maybe too warm and be working too hard, so then they would go to the outside and then gradually work their way in and out. So it's not always the same ones on the outside or the same ones on the inside.
Oh, it's a constant, you know, revolving.
Yeah, yeah. Huh. And then the whole ball, the whole cluster moves through the hive to get to the honey stores. So they'll, during the winter, you know, eat mm-hmm. the honey that they have in there. So, and then, you know, we hope that they have enough, but to be positive, sure that
mm-hmm.
they have enough, we feed them. We've changed over now so that we don't have water. We had like this fortified sugar water in there mm-hmm. in the fall, but now he's changed all that out to be, it's like a fondant, a patty called Hive Alive, the one that we use, has all kinds of nutrients and stuff. So if they run out of honey, they've got mm-hmm. the Hive Alive that they can be eating from.
Wow, this isn't so interesting.
Yeah, it is, isn't it? All that stuff is going on inside those quiet little boxes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Just a whole little ecosystem of itself.
Yeah.
And by itself. And,
yeah.
And they're all so interdependent on each other
and
get along. And
yeah, and for the most part, yeah. And then the funny thing is now we know that it's only the girls in there now. All the mm-hmm. drones have been kicked out, so no males in there.
Wow. So how did they get males? And again, when they need them?
In the spring, they'll hatch out new males,
okay.
new drones.
Okay. So drones only 1 year?
Yeah.
Just the males?
Well, not only just for 1 year. They serve their one purpose, and then they're useless. They do want to come back into the hive, you know, during the summer,
mm-hmm.
and they don't mind so much. But, you know, like I've said before, all they do is kind of hang around and
mm-hmm.
eat the food. They don't even have stingers, so they can't even really protect the hive. All they do is hang around and eat the honey.
Mm.
And so in the fall, when they realize they're preparing uh-huh. for winter, that's when those ladies, they kick all those drones out, and you find dead drones outside laying on the ground.
I know some people like that, though.
Yeah.
Just kidding. I had to get you laughing, Pam. You know what I mean?
yeah.
So that's really neat, though.
Yeah.
So is your honey pretty much gone for the year then? You've got that sold and...
No, we've got quite a few bottles still.
Okay.
So
if you want to bring some more in, I know we're out and people ask for,
I can bring some more in. Yeah.
Next time you come in to do the show taping and
we'll
do that.
Yep,
so.
I'll bring some more in.
So that's interesting. I did not know that. So You're listening to Talk Real Estate on AM 1460, FM 97.7. Our agent today, our realtor, Pam Collins. Pam, how can folks get a hold of you?
Oh, give me a call, 651-319-1298.
Or you can call your local Hastings Edina Realty office, 651-437-2121. Hastings update.
Yeah, so, well, here, I'll show you my printout today.
There's a whole side filled and about a quarter of the other side.
So not quite as many as there were last time.
It looks a little less.
But still, there's right now, if you look at it, 55 houses active on the market. So, and now this is something that I haven't seen for a while. Of those 55 that are live on the market, five of them have this red arrow pointing down, which means there's been a price reduction.
Oh, okay.
Since it came on market. And
yeah, we haven't heard that in a long
time. Yeah. And also, when I look at all 55 of these, only three of them have been on the market for less than a week.
Okay.
So what you're seeing is they're staying on market a little bit longer than they were.
And having to go through price reductions.
Yeah.
Is that going to bring then some pressure down on all home prices?
Well, what I'm seeing is more of kind of a plateau.
Okay.
You know, I'm not really seeing. My guess is that when the houses have had to do a price reduction, they were a little bit ambitious maybe when they priced it to begin with.
Okay.
And then they had to bring it down to reality.
Okay.
So, and then even looking at the houses that this is just in the last 30 days that have gone into pending or that have closed, there's about 51 of those. And of the 20 that have pended, only six of them were on the market less than a week. So it just shows that it's... When I say slowing down, I don't mean like necessarily slowing down. It just means kind of feeling
moderate
or a little bit more normal almost. Mm-hmm. But we have such high expectations because of what's been going on, you know, in the past. So you can see there's been a lot of activity just in the last 30 days. There's been 51 pending and closed in the Hastings area. So that's quite a few, actually.
Would it be a fair statement to say, because generally, you know, from the years doing this radio show with you folks, you we're moving into a holiday season, which generally tends to slow things down a little bit. So would you say that this is maybe more normal than what it was?
Yeah, you probably could. And it is true that during the holiday season, it does kind of slow down. Everybody's kind of distracted by all the other stuff going on. But what's crazy, you know, I have a house coming on. It's in Byron, but it's going to come live on the market probably toward the end of next week. And right before, right after Thanksgiving, we're trying to decide when it should actually come on. And I know that it'll probably sell pretty quickly because it's a one level townhome and they're in pretty high demand. So even though it slows down, a lot of activity still happens even during the holidays. So and it just the last time I was here, I don't think the interest rates have really changed that much. The most recent that I have is they're still hovering right around 7,
which you and I know. People of our generation, and even a couple generations down line, that that isn't a bad interest rate.
No. And, you know, I've been thinking about this. There was kind of a sticker shock of when they first went up, comparing to what they had been. And people had expectations that they would be able to afford a certain dollar amount house. Like maybe you thought you were going to be able to get a $450,000 home. But if you wanted to keep your mortgage payment the same where it was and not put any more money down, you're not going to be able to buy that much of a house. Maybe a $300,000, $350,000, you know. So it's changed what you're able to buy. So I think people just need to kind of get used to that, and then we'll kind of be going forward with a little bit of a new normal. So I anticipate, for example, that the spring market will probably be pretty busy, you know, It'll just be the expectations will be different from what they were mm-hmm. before.
So. I like that terminology. The expectations are just a little different. And that's that's what's been going on, really.
Yeah.
Adjusting to, because people are still going to need to buy homes and sell homes.
Always.
And they, mm-hmm. you know, it's just a field that never stops. The demand is always there.
Yeah. And like we've talked about it a lot of times, mm-hmm. you want to buy, you want to own your own house if you possibly can, because prices go up, prices go down, interest rates go up and down. But if you own your own house, you're on the train.
You're on the train. It's so if you need to get off, then you've got something to deal with instead of starting
homes,
from.
Yeah, most homes do have equity in them now, so that's a good thing.
That's good. So, okay. Again, Pam, how can folks get a hold of you?
Give me a call, 651-319-1298.
Okay. Our topic of the week, kids, we are moving in with grandma. Isn't that the truth?
Yeah, that's what the kids understand it. From a realtor's point of view, we might call it multi-generational living.
Yep. And, you know, that's the way this country was formed when we were founded. That's the way it was. And we got way, you know, and it was that way for a hundred years. And we got away from it. And well, old things just aren't necessarily wrong or bad things, are they?
Yeah. Oh, for sure. And I know we talked about this. I looked back in my notes. It was back in 2019.
Okay.
We had talked about this one time. But it's a topic near and dear to my heart, because I know, I think I told you that my my daughter and their family had lived with us for quite a while.
Same.
Yeah. And your
kids,
too.
We're in that same boat. Yep.
Yeah, exactly. And so I thought I was going to talk about it again. I had just seen an article in one of my realtor websites that I use for information, and they had mentioned it, and I thought, yeah, because we're on the other end of it now. You know, they lived with us for, I want to say almost 11 years.
Mm-hmm.
So that was a long time, and now they're in their own place, but and now that they're gone, I die inside. I miss them so much. I mean, it is nice to have the privacy and the space,
but it
and
is
the quiet, but
you
know,
there's a mourning period, and we're kind of going with that, you know, the kids, Zach and Haley and the baby and
the
stuff
baby,
were with us, you know, while their stuff was, they were getting ready and building their home in a couple of years, and it you know, you can get along, it's fun, and you do miss it.
Yeah.
You do.
Yeah. And have you ever heard the expression that you're the sandwich? And there was quite a few years where I was in that position where there were two generations alive older than me, my parents and my grandparents, and then two generations younger than me, my kids and their kids. And, you know, of course, me, I feel responsible for everybody, and there's a lot of pressure, and they call it the, you know, the sandwich. My grandma is no longer with us, but I still have my folks and then my kids and their kids. And we had looked into a lot of options where we live. We could put up an auxiliary dwelling unit, if you've heard of that.
Oh, yes, I know what that means.
Yeah, on our property. And we've thought about that many, many times. People do that even to have just a to have a bed and breakfast, you know, if you wanted to make money, rent out. And the laws have kind of evolved a little bit now where in many cases you're able to have a permanent structure. It used to maybe only be able to be for temporary.
Okay.
But, to have, like, I thought, oh, mom and dad would be super cool because they could live close by but still have their privacy.
Mm-hmm.
Or the kids, they wanted to be up in the cities. He's a musician and needs to be up there, you know, closer to where the gigs are and stuff. But I thought, well, you know, they could help pay for it or, you know, work that out. And even people bring a mobile home, you know, onto and their requirements. So those are some of the possibilities. But I think the most common is where you share a roof. And when we talk about multi-generational, it generally means you have adults that are two different generations and then kids.
Yep.
And did you know, for example, in 1900 in this country, 57% of the adults 65 and older living with their children.
Really?
Yeah.
I did not know that.
Yeah, yeah.
And it seems that we're going back to that because, you know, the cost of in you know, I folks, keep the emails and calls and, you know, letters away. I'm not dissing nursing homes or stuff, but that's becoming prohibitively expensive, too expensive for a lot of people to put their parents, you know.
Yeah, well, I was reading that in 1980, 12% of American adults lived in a multi-generational home.
Okay.
But 4 decades later, now this was 2 years ago, it had doubled to about 26% of Americans were living in a multi-generational home. And if I were to venture a guess, I think that's even gone up since then.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's interesting because I think it starts out as a solution maybe to financial issues or to caregiving. But also, I think people have been learning that it's also good for their mental and emotional benefits to it, too, you know. And, for example, my son-in-law, who comes from Brazil, it's very, very, very common, you know, the multi-generational homes. It's just almost like, well, why wouldn't you? And then they lived in Italy, same thing. When my daughter was an au pair there, the whole family had lunch together every day. The grandma, the kids, the grandkids, everybody. It was very, very much more family close. And it's different here, I know. I was looking, some of the builders, you know, are building specific homes for multi-generational.
Really?
Yeah. And there are so many different ways you can do it. Sometimes you can keep it totally separate entrances and separate living spaces, but under one roof. Mm-hmm. But you can do it so much more economically. Mm-hmm. Or like one thing we had considered was if my mom and dad did, you know, move in with us, they sold their house, they would have cash, build an addition onto our house that would give them private space, you know, as much as they would want or not want. And then, like for us, we shared the kitchen, we shared the living room, although they had kind of we called it the chillin' room upstairs too. They kind of had the upstairs, we had the main floor.
Mm-hmm.
But I was really grateful to have my daughter there because she's an incredible cook. And so
yes, I miss that stuff too. Yes.
She did a lot of the cooking and it was really good and really healthy, you know. Or a lot of times, and I knew if my mom and dad moved in, my mom loves to cook too. And so I would be totally good with that and working in the garden and, you know, all those kind of things that you do. So there are a lot of advantages, and even like with my kids in school, it was so nice to be able to help with homework and just kind of be there as another adult, you know.
Well, in our home, they helped with the yard work and the snow removal. Now I'll be doing that all myself this year.
Yeah, exactly.
And yeah, it really
expenses.
And we always, you know, the meals were fun and different cooks. And you're right.
Yeah. So I'll just quickly mention, because I think we're just about out of time, but when we're looking for houses, I will also often find a house that has the potential for being what you call a mother-in-law suite, if you were thinking of doing something like that.
Because it is. It's not, you can live that and have a great time with it. So.
Yeah, yep.
Pam, great topic. Wow. And one final time, how can folks get a hold of you?
Call my cell, 651-319-1298.
Thank you, Pam. You can also call the Hastings Edina Realty office at 651-437-2121. Ask for the B Lady or Pam. This is KDWA Hastings.